All right, Psalms chapter 50. I want you to look at verse number 22. Now consider this. So God's asking you to consider something. Ye that forget God. I'm going to read that again. Because when I saw this verse, it stuck with me. It says, now consider this. Ye that forget God. Now watch what he says here. I know that we're under grace. I understand that. And I know that there's three applications you do with Scripture, but I'm trying to spiritualize a spiritual application here. It says, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear ye, you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. You know what God was saying here? He was saying, hey, consider this. Now, for him to put this in here, people have forgot God.
Right. You're right.
All you have to do is look at America. And I know Brother Jimmy's in a country that it's a... And we still have freedoms here, but America is forgetting God.
You're right.
We're forgetting where we come from. Amen. And God said, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear ye in pieces. You don't hear that kind of preaching. You don't hear the judgment of God preached anymore. Kids, I want you to understand something. You will be brought into judgment for the things that you do. Amen. Now, just because some of the people left, you can still say amen. Now, I want you to realize this, is that if you read, I want you to go with the Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. I know this is talking about wisdom, but I want you to get a picture before I bring what God's told me to preach. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. Now look at, and I know this is talking about knowledge and wisdom. I understand that. But again, let's make a spiritual application. Because I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have sat not at my counsel, and would none of my reproof. God said, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh to desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon thee. But I will not answer. You know what God was trying to say this? Hey, now consider this, ye that forget God. Do you know some of you are going to walk out of this youth camp, you're going to hear 10 to 15 messages, you're going to hear a man of God get up with all this experience he has in finding the will of God in faith, and you're not going to get nothing out of this youth camp, and when you go back, you're going to go back to the same places you came out of, amen. You're going to do the same things you were doing before you came here, and you're going to forget God. God does not have to stay at youth camp.
Right.
He can go back to your church, amen. He can go back to your community.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now watch it. Comes down here in verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Some of you kids don't have a clue about when God just leaves somebody alone. I have dealt with girls, my wife can tell you, we have dealt with girls who had told God no and said no for 6 months. I don't want to hear nothing about God. I don't want you to tell me about God. Get out of my face. God's just a joke. And you know what happened? They forgot God and they said no to God so long, God stopped fooling with them. You can't play with God and get away with it. Amen. So I don't want you to forget God. But I want you to go to Daniel chapter 5. And then I'm going to give this message to you, and then I'm going to let Brother Linton come up. I'm sure he's got something that you need to hear tonight. But Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. We don't have time to look read the whole verses. I'll kind of give you the cliff notes. Is what I got through. That's all. The only reason I got through high school was cliff notes. Hey, man, I read one book in my whole... I'm ashamed to say that. Cliff notes. All right, somebody come up here and corral Brother Linton. Amen. Stacy, you come up here and corral. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron and of wood and of stone. In verse number 5, the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote, and the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. You know what that pictures? He was shaking in his boots.
Yeah, amen.
When God showed up,
when
God revealed Himself, when God came into the place, they were no longer mocking and making fun of God. They became and saw the judgment of God was fixing to fall. The night when God said, I want to preach on this salt, when the party ends and judgment begins. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. And I pray, Lord, You be with the messages tonight. I pray You be with Brother Linton as he brings the message. I pray, Lord, that You just bless this little message, Lord, that You gave me, Lord. Lord, there's one here that all that's in their mind is partying. I mean, the life is just one big party. I mean, it's not going to end. But the lights do go out on the party.
Yeah.
And I ask You, Lord, that You show up and take that finger that You wrote there and You write on the sign of their heart that they need to get right with You. Lord, we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. When the party ends and judgment begins. You know, tonight a lot of teenagers, there used to be a saying when I was growing up, I don't even know if it's a saying anymore, Brother Perry, but I used to have shirts like, the party never ends. Party till I die. Our life's just one big party. I want to let you know something, kids. It's time for some of you your older kids to grow up.
Yeah.
Amen. Everything ain't some party. Amen. It's time now. It's the time to get serious with God. Amen. It's time to put away the childish things as Paul talked about and start growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All week, some of you been concerned all week is the point total. Praise God, we got games. But the only thing I've been concerned about is if God's going to show up. Is God going to come into this place and He's going to show His glory? That's the only thing that concerns me, that He will not show up. You say, preacher, you've been preaching on sin all week. You preachers have been plowing. I'm telling you, we still have to plow. To me, it would take 3 to 4 weeks on some of you, amen. Just plowing and plowing and plowing. You put garbage in your head all year. You put every kind of defilement in your mind all year. And it's going to take weeks and weeks and weeks of preaching. But if God will show up just in 2 minutes, He can get the job done, amen. When the party ends and judgment begins, let me tell you something, kids. The party will end. The lights will grow dim, and it was in the dim lights of my life when all hope was gone. Amen. Oh, when I was sinking down and my wife was going to divorce me, it's when God showed up in my life and showed that I needed this to be saved and born again. Thank God I got saved. Amen. Thank God that the day that God showed me that I was a sinner. I mean, I grew up in church all my life. I knew what it was to go to church. But man, we were defiling the things of God. Amen. We were mocking and making fun of the house of God. That might not have been the right church, but it was still His church. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
There's several things I want to bring out, and then we'll just leave it where. But the first thing I want to say is their ungodliness. You know, tonight, kids, some of you still in ungodliness. You know why I can tell? I see how you're still talking to the boys. I see how you're making the body language to the boys. Girl, I'm just going to preach tonight. If you get mad, get mad. Amen? But some of you boys, you ain't walking away from them. You ain't doing what Brother Stan was saying this morning about a pure conscience. You're just trying to get another look. Amen. All right, don't amen me. It don't matter. I'm still preaching. And you wonder tonight why everybody thinks you're cheap. I tell you why they think you're cheap. You're giving that persona that you're cheap. You know what? You need to give a persona that, tonight, that I'm God's property. Get your hands off of me until if God decides to put us together, He'll do it. Now keep your filthy hands off of me.
Amen.
We're inviting. You boys, some of your minds, I can tell the way you look at your girls, you're looking at the wrong thing.
Yes, sir.
You look at them and watch how they walk.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm talking to you boys. You know, we've already got comments this week on how close the boys and girls are sitting together.
Yes, sir,
and it's, and I tell you who, just be honest with you, Grace, it's our boys. Gloryland's boys.
Amen.
It's Gloryland's boys. Now, it shouldn't be right, kids.
Amen.
Well, I like her. Get away from her, man.
Right.
Do you like her enough to go ahead and marry her now? Girls, I'm going to give you this. If he'll put his hands on you, he'll never respect you.
Amen.
He'll never respect you.
Amen.
Emily, he will never respect you if he puts his hand. Ungodliness. You know what the King Belshazzar did? He just had some big party. Amen. I can't even say what it is. I wouldn't want to put that word in your mind. But I'm telling you, he had this great feast and all this ungodliness was going on. And he didn't care who was there. He was just living it up. Some of you boys, I'm telling you right now, and I'm going to go ahead and preach this to the girls, you're fooling with pornography. I'm sorry. You're fooling with pornography. Oh, don't preach that to the girls. Ask my wife. Ask her if we don't deal with pornography from the girls now. Had a girl that come up to me one day. I was preaching in Chalk with Brother Linton, and I had a porn on pornography. I said, I'll skip that. God said, why? I said, all right, I'll preach it. I preached it a little bit. I got through. A girl come to the altar and said, you're not leaving until I talk to you. I said, all right, let's talk. She said, Brother Scott, I've been hooked on pornography since the age of 9. Girls, let me tell you something. That we used to only preach it to the boys about the dirty magazines and the Internet. Why are you preaching on that? Because some of you spend all your time on that stupid thing. Amen. You're fooling with pornography. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it will destroy you.
Amen.
It will put you somewhere you don't want to be. Boys, you'll be locked up because you'll be a sexual predator. Because you can't control the lust of the flesh. It'll get to a point where you can't control it anymore. And you'll molest some girl. Amen. I'm sorry, but this has got to be preached. Some of you need to get right about it right now. You need to get somebody and say, I'm guilty of it, preacher. I need to get right about it. I'm going to tell you something. You don't know the tool that the devil... That is, I'm telling you, the number one thing he's using with our Bible-believing independent Baptist kids. Yeah, you might not go out and smoke a joint or drink a beer, but you'll hop on the Internet in the quietness of your own room. You'll get on there, and just like Belshazzar, you'll defile things, amen, you ain't supposed to be looking at. And I'm going to tell you something, boys. You'll never have a relationship between a man and a woman of God that God ordained when you start putting images in your mind and thinking about, well, she don't look like her and all this garbage. I'm sorry it's straight tonight, but the problem today is we're looking at pornography. We're defiling ourselves. We're ungodly in the house of God.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, kids, some of you know right now you're guilty.
Amen.
I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to get up. Yeah, I bet you Belshazzar probably knew too. He wasn't supposed to be doing that. He said, but I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm just going to keep giving my ungodliness. I don't care what the preacher said. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but that's all right. I'm going to do it.
Amen.
I'm going to do it.
Good.
You're hooked.
Yeah.
You are hooked. You are trapped. You know what? Right now, the devil's saying, boy, don't do it, don't do it. What would they think of me? I'm going to tell you, that is what he's going to keep you in bondage with.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't get up and do that. I'm telling you right now, God is dealing with somebody tonight on this. It's burdened my heart. I'm telling you, the preachers have mentioned this and mentioned this and mentioned this. And the problem today is in our Bible-believing circles, we just think we'll sweep it under the rug.
Right, man.
One time, Brother Billy Allen came to our church. The man was preaching a mission conference, Brother Linton. One night, out of the clear blue, in a mission conference, he stood up and preached on pornography. I'm thinking, that old man's, God's done told him something. A mission conference. And he mentions that in a mission. Y'all had Brother Billy Allen. He's the greatest mission preacher I've ever heard. But God used him and he stood up. And lo and behold, we had things going on. I couldn't even mention in his pulpit was going on. Why? Because God sent the preacher. But you're going to keep playing with it. That brings me to the second thing. I want you to see where he really got in trouble. I'll tell you when. Go get me the golden vessels. Go get me God's things. Bring them out so I can drink in them. And we can party with God's things. Guess what? Went from ungodliness. Then he went from the unconcern of the things of God. That's where he got in trouble. You quote, somebody stood up this morning. You saved. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you're letting everything that is wicked and ungodly in that temple.
Right.
So you're unconcerned. You don't care. I'm not asking you to run to this altar when I give an invitation. I'm asking you to get somewhere, and if you know you're guilty, get it right.
Amen.
You think we want to parade you around here? Have you been feeding your mind on that? We ain't going to parade you around here and say, look, at so and so and so and so. No, you need to go get somebody that you can trust, or you just need to get along with God. And you need to get it right tonight.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you, boys, some of you scare me.
Amen.
Right.
You can't handle it. You will not handle it.
Amen.
He talked about his friend. That little girl that I told you about last night, Murphy, 13 years old, she had an abortion. She got born again, and my wife will tell you, one of the most wicked girls I've ever dealt with. Every time I would walk on the unit, she would say, she would run from me. She would always speak in a low voice like, get away from me. I mean, this girl was wicked. One day I walked over to her and I said, can I pray for you? And she said, I'm scared of you. I said, well, let me just talk to you. And we sat down, and she told me things that curled my skin. She was ripping her skin off. Every time I saw her, I would walk in there, and she'd take her fingernails, and she would rake down her face. She had gotten all that garbage and all that mess. She was so hooked in pornography. She was so messed up because of the sexual revolution in this country that she just could not handle it. At 13, she got pregnant. At 13, she aborted a baby, as her mind was gone. I got up preaching one day after she got saved, and I remember her walking in to me, and she said, I know you preach all that stuff about the blood of Jesus Christ. She said, but I'll never forget that baby I aborted. Boys, girls, you want to get unconcerned for the things of God? You want to be the next Demas? I tell you, you ask these kids. All these kids at Glory Land know this. That when I got called to this ministry, when God put me over the youth, I buried my heart in that youth. I buried it. You know what? It's been broken. It's been squeezed. I've had to watch kids walk out of our church, get in ungodliness because they got unconcerned for the things of God. They could care less. I'm sorry. Some of you ain't right with God. You ain't right. But you keep playing. Unconcerned. I don't have time to go into it, but you read. We read it. He said, go get the vessels. Go get all that. They started partying and drinking wine and doing defiling the things of God. And that's what you're doing. But look at verse number 5. I mean, we found their ungodliness and their unconcern. But in verse number 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall in the king's palace and saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed.
Amen.
Then we find the unwelcome guest.
Amen.
You know what some of you doing? Don't mess with me, God. You're not welcome. I don't want you here, God. But see, God all week's been taking that finger.
Amen, yes, sir.
He's been a-writing. He's going to keep writing. He's going to keep plowing. He's going to keep doing things until you get right.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something, boys and girls. Some of you are missing out on camp because you like somebody. I'm sorry. Amen. You're missing out on God because you're worried if He gets too spiritual or if she gets too spiritual, we can't touch no more. We can't peck each other no more. We can't kiss nobody anymore. That's what you're worried about.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, some of you godly kids, you think that I fell off a truck, amen, a stupid truck, but I didn't hit a stupid rock on the way down. And the way some of you are touching each other, amen, it makes me believe if you'll do it here, you're doing a lot more when nobody's here.
Amen.
But He came, and you're saying, oh, leave me alone, Lord. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. He's not welcome in your heart. You've shut Him out. Some of you boys, I'm almost tempted to point you out, but I'm not. I want the Holy Ghost to do it, but I'm telling you, you ain't made one trip to this altar, and you're going to tell me you that God and you're that holy, amen?
Amen, preacher.
You know what you're saying? God, I don't want you to show up in my life.
Right.
Y'all listen.
Amen, preacher.
We ain't praying yet. You quench the Spirit of God. You won't let Him come down here. You won't let Him show up. He's unwelcome. But I'm going to tell you, He's welcome. God's welcome. He's holy and He's righteous. And He's worthy to be. I mean, He's worthy.
Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
He's worthy.
Yes, sir.
Unwelcome. He's unwelcome. Y'all don't want Him here. Some of you don't want Him here. I'm sorry this is a rough message, but this is what God said to preach.
Amen. That's good preaching.
So we find His ungodliness, His unconcern of the things of God, and the unwelcome guest shows up, but you know, this is what we do. We run to some unsuccessful friends. In verse number 7, the king crowed aloud to bring the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. He started calling all these people and said, hey, what does it say on the wall? Ain't that what you do? You run to somebody that ain't spiritual. And you start getting advice from them, and they're worse off than you are. You wouldn't dare go to somebody that was spiritual.
Amen.
I'm telling you, some of you that have friends in the ear, they ain't got a spiritual bone in their body. Yet you're running to them trying to get spiritual advice. What's wrong with taking the woman of God and the man of God and saying, hey, what do you think about this?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to really make you mad, but it don't matter. But Brother Linton, none of you want to go up and talk to him. I'm telling you, that man could help you.
Yes, sir, preacher.
And as a young preacher, I realized something. He could help me. And I got with him. I said, what can you do? He's criticized me. Thank God for criticism, amen. Iron sharpeneth iron.
Yes, sir.
Some of you won't do that. Won't you go ask your preacher what he thinks? When's the last time you boys decided you were going to like somebody? The first person you went and asked was the preacher and then say, hey, would you mind calling him? No, we don't do that. We bypass all that. We slip a note to him. Do you like me? Would you tell me if you like me? Would you give this? You ain't doing nothing but stirring up a bunch of fleshly feelings. And you get advice from these kids. I'm sorry. There's only certain people I get advice from. I asked Brother Linton about having this youth camp. Amen? No, the pews ain't packed. But God sent the kids, we need it. Amen? I ain't disappointed. God's been working. I ain't disappointed. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to some unsuccessful friends. Them friends ain't helping you. Some of you need to denounce some of them friends.
Yes, sir.
You know what? We can get an altar call. We probably won't have nobody, but that's all right. But I could preach on pornography. I'm telling you right now, I can tell the way you talk what you listen to.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I can tell what you're watching. I can tell what program you're watching, what music you're listening to. And I'm going to tell you something, kids. Rock and roll music, country music, rap music, it don't matter. If it's not godly music, every one of it leads you to rebellion. Every one of them.
Yes, sir.
That song that I used to like, "We're Not Gonna Take It." That was a rock and roll song. Boy, that really makes you want to be spiritual, don't it? We're telling the establishment, we're not going to take it no more. Amen?
Right.
I know that this would be rough, but amen, I'm just preaching what God said.
Right.
Unsuccessful friends. I'm going to give you the last thing. I'm going to close. I really believe I've done what God's told me to do. Y'all are shocked, ain't you? I'm going to close. I'm not going to sit up here and go over and over and over 5,000 times. You know what's wrong with you tonight. You know why God ain't talking to you? I mean, you know why God is not coming down in here? You know that you got some things you got to get right, but you're not going to get them right. But I want to show you what happened to Belshazzar. He defiled the things of God. He didn't care what people thought. All he was concerned is when God showed up, then he got a little nervous. And Daniel came and Daniel read what was on the wall and he said, hey, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming! Wouldn't it be sad if you walked out of this youth camp and you're crossways with God, you're lost with God, and God already knows He's got to bring judgment upon you because His grace sent you a message. His grace sent you about a pure conscience. His grace sent you about not being ashamed. His grace sent you some things you need to get nailed down. His grace sent you Andrew's message. Amen. His grace sent you Brother Jimmy's testimony. His grace, His mercy. Amen. Sent all these messages and you're going to walk out of here and you're going to leave the same way you came.
Amen.
You know, I'm telling you, it's time somebody got mad again. Amen. I'm mad tonight when things are going on in our kids. I'm mad tonight that we don't see a movement of God in our kids. I'm mad about that.
Yes, sir.
I'm mad about kids leaving the house of God. I'm tired of it. Amen. I'm tired of losing our kids to the world. I'm tired of seeing my heart broken. I'm tired of seeing it, Johnny. I want to see kids just nail it down this week. I want kids to go back shouting and saying, look what God done for me. This is why I brag on Him. This is why we give testimony.
Yes, sir.
If y'all have a testimony service, what did God do for you this week? Well, I was on the blue team and we won. Thank you. Thank you, Mama, for paying my thing. And then you go sit down. It's been a long time where I've seen a teenager get behind the pulpit in one of our youth camps and just let their heart talk. It's always the same thing. Well, so-and-so message really touched my heart. Just really touched my heart. 2 weeks later, you're doing the same thing he preached on.
You're right.
Last thing. It's over. Daniel said, he's going to take the kingdom. And in verse 30, and I had to skip a lot of this. In that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, and I'm probably saying that wrong, was slain. You find his untimely death. Kids, I wonder how many Bible-believing young people died before their time because they wouldn't get right with God. When you stand before God, and He had to take you out of here early because you couldn't get control of it. All the potential you had, you stood before God. And I'm just saying, if He done this, He pulled down the screen. He said, you know, that youth camp, if you had just got right, I was going to send you to them. And then in Isaiah or Ezekiel, one of those books, I get it confused. He's going to walk us around and let us see the carcasses that is going to be thrown in a lake of fire because you wouldn't get right. He took you out of here early. Some of you, well, if I'm called to preach, I don't know. I'm all for making sure. Don't make a mess of things. Well, what do you think God's going to come down in a physical being? You know what? I just got on my face and said, God, you can show me that I'm called to preach. Some of you boys are hanging on and I can't do that. No one else is worthy to do it. No of us can do it. Amen. You think Brother Linton had the ability to go to China? No, he said he didn't want to be there. Except for God.
Amen.
He said, I don't preach because of me. I preach because of Him.
Amen.
It's about Him.
Yes.
And the problem today is God's trying to get you to realize it's all about God. It's not about you. He wants you to give all, give all, give all to Him.
Amen.
He's going to take some of you out early.
Amen.
You're going to be as what we call a has-been. But I got up here and started naming all the kids that's left Glory Land. And y'all know them. I'm not going to call their name. Because they will not submit to authority. You won't submit to your mom and dad. You ain't going to submit to the pastor. And you definitely ain't going to submit to the God. I'm sorry. If you can't get submission down with your mom and dad, you can forget it. So I'm going to ask you. Oh man, if I go up there, they might think I'm in for not. Nobody knows why you'll come to this altar.
Right.
Nobody will know. Me and Brother Linton ain't going to run up here now. What you here for, son? Now you just tell us all. I don't want to know. I don't want to know that. I tell those girls all the time, do not tell me why you're here. I'm not God. I can't forgive like God.
Man.
I want to be able to love that person. What if I dealt with a guy that was, he raped 1,500 women and he killed all of them? You think I could go over there and give the love of God to him? No, I probably couldn't. But tonight, y'all ain't settled. Boys, you ain't settled. Girls, you have cheapened yourself. Some of you have. You're more precious than that. Girls, that's what we need is girls that walk an aisle with a white gown on. God knows they're not lying when they walk down the aisle. The party's going to end. And then the judgment's coming. Wouldn't you rather just get it right before He has to bring judgment? You know what the one thing in the Bible that I like? If we judge ourselves, He's saying, hey, judge yourselves. God wants you to judge yourself. That's one of self-judgment. I want to judge myself before it gets too far. Before I get to the point where He calls me Tyler and I won't listen to Him. How about you? How about you? Let's bow our heads. No, we ain't going to do no piano playing. I'm telling you, some of you kids need to get on this altar.